Blog Talk Radio.
We can't live without them.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I worship, adore you forever.
Morning.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus.
I worship you forever.
Glory.
Stretch
flies.
First thing I do.
Reach my hands over the sky.
I'm honoring. I turned up my radio. You're the song.
Now I'm
got
the praise on.
But there goes the phone.
Just ignore it.
But somebody say,
after life, okay, it's alright.
Cause when you're in the presence of the Most High, you take time.
All I wanna do is give my praise just up to you.
Now I'm wretched enough. I got my sword and shield.
Cause it's real and appeal.
Some people don't understand why at lunch you'll be sitting with your head in your hand.
Yes, I'm so sure you think you'll do good.
Not none of the time doing what I'm supposed to do today.
They never get praise my God.
Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. So happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to have a word of prayer. We want to thank God, first of all, because his word says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So I'm thankful for his word, because his word teaches us that this is who we are. We are the word of God. We are living epistles. So when the word of God is in you and it's alive in you, that's what we are. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, for making us living epistles. Your Heavenly Father, that is in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are and whose we are. I declare that through you, God, that the battle has already been won. I declare, Father God, that because of your presence, because of your prevention, and because of your way of doing things, you have ordained such to be so. So I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for all of your grace. I declare, Father God, that we have won the victory according to 1 Corinthians 15:57-58, because your word says it. So I declare, Father God, that the anointing will be on your word, not on man, but on your word. I declare, Heavenly Father, that you are doing a divine change in the world and in America and in these people. So I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for your healing power, because we watched many people get healed, spirit, soul, and body. I thank you for the healing of the spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the spirit, man, that you have allowed us in the name of Jesus to come humbly before you. And you have delivered, Father God, your spirit. I pray, Father God, right now for those that have not experienced that born-again sensation. I pray that they get born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is your word. God, you promised to be a blessing. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Father God, for keeping us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Father God, we receive right now forgiveness. We receive, Heavenly Father, right now, the things that you have promised us. We walking in it. We walking in victory. We no longer a curse, but we are a blessing. So I thank you for it. Thank you, Father God, for Minister Robinson and his recovery. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for Evangelist Renee. I thank you for Evangelist for her recovery. I thank you for Evangelist Marilyn for her recovery and her mother recovery. I thank you. I give you praises. I give you honor for it. And then I decree and declare right now that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. You provide spiritually as well as physically. You provide spiritually as well as mental. I thank you. You're just our provider. And I praise you for it. I honor you for it, because you are the Most High. You are, Father God, our great high priest. You are our comforter, Father God, our all grace. Everything we ever need, you are there. You are, Father God, our Jehovah Nisa. You are our banner. So we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for being our Jehovah Raha. You are our Lord. You are our master. You are our controller. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. We honor you for it. Father God, we just thank you right now for being our glory. I thank you, Father God, for being the great I am, because it's in that, Father God, we cry out to you. Because we can cry out, Lord. We can cry out, Lord. Because when we cry out like that, we're saying, you are master. You are ruler. You are our controller. Because we know you are Lord. We put your Lord over everything. Not only our bodies and our minds and our spirit, we make your Lord over our children, our grandchildren. We make your Lord over our household. We make your Lord over our finances. We decree and declare right now that you're Lord. And we're not taking it back. You're Lord. You're our master. You're our ruler. You are our controller. And we're going to live like that. So I thank you for that mindset. I thank you, Father God, that Philippians 4:11 says that whatever state we in, to be content. Thank you, Father God, for being content. Thank you for having a content mind, for having a content spirit. I thank you, Father God, we're secured in that because Romans 8:38-39 have decreed it and declared, Father God, that we're not going to let nothing separate us from you, Heavenly Father. You know why? Folks, because he is our protector. We have Psalms 91 to lean on. We know that you are our refuge. So we thank you, Father God. We can always hide in you. And just thank you, Father God, for making us chosen. We're a chosen generation. I just get excited, Father God, when I think about how you blessed us. I thank you for it. Acknowledge you for it. Pray right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will continue, Father God, to bless us going in and bless us coming out. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody agreed with this prayer. They did say amen, amen, and hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. I don't know if Evangelist Ursula coming back or not, but she had to leave for a moment. But praise the Lord. You know, we go on in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Our foundational scripture is a good one. I said we were going to pick up on, I think I said, talking about faith in your own right. And there's a lot to be said about that, and faith in your own right. So before I get into that, let me say this, brothers and sisters, why it's so important that we understand that you have to operate in faith, because that's what pleases God. That's number one. Number two, you already see we have all these compares about with so great cloud of witnesses. We should lay aside everything that's not like God. And let us, and that's what I call repentance. We're not doing it our way anymore. We're going to do it God's way. So that's why you got to lay, because all this other stuff is sin. Don't let folks fool you. A lot of people think sin is you're doing this, doing that. No. Anything that's not of faith is sin. That's scripture. Anything not of faith is sin. Well, that's how I came up with that, is that if it's not of the word of God, it's sin. So that's why it's so important that we look unto Jesus, who happens to be the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, dear heart, we have to look unto Jesus for everything. Everything.
Amen.
If you're not looking unto Jesus, I'm almost about to tell you it's singing. Yeah. Because when you're not looking unto Jesus, you're not looking at faith. With that being said, we're going to talk about faith and what it means. Because the meaning of faith, what the meaning of faith is, the meaning of faith is, let me put it to you this way, because I want everybody to understand this, because the Bible give us all kinds of messages about faith. Matter of fact, probably 600 and something, and probably even more. I just know about 600 times, over 600 times he mentioned the word faith. So it's important that we have a clear understanding what faith is. So we need to know the meaning of faith, okay? When Jesus told him over there, oh, you have little faith. Well, what did that mean? Then one scripture, he said, you have no faith. And then I turn around and hear him say, you have great faith. So I need to know what that means. I mean, I need to know what it meant when the wind was blowing and the water was blistering and there was no calm at all and everybody else was bent out of shape and Jesus telling them people, oh, you're a little faith. I need to understand what he's talking about.
Yeah,
we know
they
wasn't Jesus. We know that they hadn't been with the Father like Jesus had been. But why would Jesus say to these people, ye of little faith? Because they didn't rebuke the wind. They didn't tell the sea to be calm. What would you call them of little faith? Why would Jesus say that to those people? So we need to understand that, okay? So we got that to try to understand. And in all of this, we need to get a clear understanding what faith is. And that especially the fact that Jesus is the author of it. He should have known what it is. I mean, he should have had a lot of it. If he's the author and finisher, he ain't Mr. B. But how come these other folks is little faith? And how come some others are great faith? So that's why I'm telling you, we need to understand what faith is, if we're going to understand faith in your own rights. Faith in your own rights is very important. Yeah. So let's go to the book of James, the first chapter, and we'll start it off there. And the 18th verse, first chapter, 18th verse. In the King James, read like this. I was thinking should be back there now, but either way, we're going to move on. It says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creation.
Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Reading from the Message Bible. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. Amen.
So, the new creation is based upon legal ground. You have come into the Father's family now. Why are you at?
Amen.
Because you are responding to his call. What is his call? His call is through the word of God. So you could have never gotten in there by your own effort. That's what we have to understand. You have to be born of the Holy Spirit. You have to be recreated through the agent of the word. That's how we get recreated. So when James says in 1 and 18, it was his own will. It was his own word. It was his will. Had nothing to do with you. Had nothing to do with your mama, your grandmama. No, it was God's will. You have to see that. You have to know that it was God's will. It was his own will. That he got that word into you and you became born again by the word of God. So the Bible says of his own will.
Yeah. Amen.
That you should be born again by the word of God, not by feelings. It is the
Amen.
Father's will. It is through the Father's word. It is by the urging of the Holy Ghost that eternal life has been given to us, imparted in us, in our spirit man. Why? Because we are the new creation of his own will. Y'all got to hear yourself
Amen.
Say that. It was of God's will. Just like your natural birth, you had nothing to do with that. You didn't even know who your daddy was going to be. You know that. You didn't
Amen.
Tell your daddy to bring you into this world.
Amen.
You didn't tell your mother.
Amen.
You didn't tell your mother who to choose.
Amen.
Yeah, I want to make this real plain to you. So it was of God's own will, just like in the natural. So y'all done had babies out there. Don't act like you don't know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You could have been with that first
Amen.
Guy. You could have been with that last guy. You could have been with that guy in between that had a baby by. It was your will. You choose to do that. You that have had children. Preach. I'm trying to do the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
It was your choice.
Yeah.
So it is in the spirit world. God chose us. He chose us and called us. It is not man. It is not the will of the flesh. It is the will of our Father. You don't believe it, Pastor? Look at St. John 1:13. Listen, brothers and sisters. In St. John 1:13, see, remember now, faith is in your own rights. That's why I'm going to have to break down faith, because I think some people have got faith mixed up with foolishness. Some people got faith mixed up with, oh, well, you got to have facts. Some people got, what more facts than the Word of God, huh? What more facts than the Word of God? Please tell me. Someone, please tell me what's more facts than the Word of God. So in St. John 1:13, what did that say, Pastor?
St. John 1:13, reading from the King James. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus wasn't born of the flesh, but it was the will of God. We were not born of the flesh. This new creation now, let me be clear. The new creation. We were born by the word of God. If you've been born again and it's not by the word of God, you are a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Woo, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the Bible says, and I can give you, I got plenty of receipts for you. Y'all know that. I keep some receipts for you. In 1 Peter 1:23, so you can see this. In 1 Peter 1:23, please read that for us, Pastor. Because I'm getting ready to take you somewhere. I'm getting ready to give you the background on redemption and how it happened.
Amen. Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen.
Yeah. Read that at the Messenger Bible. Listen, brothers and sisters, being born again is very important. Don't be religious with this. See, a lot of people there made all this noise and got people thinking because you made the right kind of noise, you've been born again. Noise don't get you born again.
Amen.
Yeah, that ain't what gets you born again.
from the Message Bible. First Peter 1:23. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. Amen.
Did you hear that? Your new birth. We're part of that new creation. That new creation is of the first fruit. That's what Jesus was. He just happened to be the first. So a lot of times you're reading the Bible about the first fruit.
Yeah.
God did this stuff. He chose to do it like this. And it's not like your first birth. Your first birth was carnal. This birth here is not carnal. It's not a man. Let me tell y'all something right now. See, a lot of stuff I just call PP. Now, I know y'all probably didn't know what PP means. But PP is not personal protection. That's not what, that's poison. That's a poison perception. A lot of people have a poison perception. It's poison.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poison path. And then you become a poison people because of PP. Mm-hmm. That's what PP is. These are poison people. You got to be careful. Feeding you all this garbage. They're poison. That's why it's up to you. And you and you and you to go into the Word of God yourself and see that being born again is not of corruptible seed. It had nothing to do with this earthly stuff. It all had to do with God, okay? So, let me say this. When you read Romans 3, and well, I don't know, you can start around the 21st verse, go through the 26th if you like. But the Bible says, it's sort of like a legal background of our redemption. Our redemption is our forgiveness, our regeneration, our rebirth, our salvation. That's what this is. So when you're reading that, you'll see that that's where our atonement is at. I wanted to be clear with you. That's where restoration is at. So when you're reading Romans 3:21-26, it said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. See, you want God's righteousness without the law. You don't want God's righteousness with the law, because that means you would have to do this, do that, because that's what the law did. But God's righteousness is without the law. Let me say that again. Somebody might miss that.
Yeah.
God's righteousness is not predicated on the law. Like folks have taught us. Well, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, God's righteousness has to be without the law because it's predicated on faith. So the Bible says that the law of the... I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. God's righteousness is manifest and is being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Not everybody, just the believers. For there is no difference, he says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption. That is in Christ Jesus. That's not a typo. It's not Jesus Christ. It's through the Spirit, Christ Jesus. Get that?
Yeah.
It's through Christ Jesus, who God had set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, at his time, his righteousness, that he might be just and justified of him which believe in Jesus. See that? Well, why is that so important? Because Jesus is who we look to. That's where our faith is. We're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. It is a redemption that gives us righteousness of God on the ground of our faith in Jesus Christ. You have to put your faith in there. So that's why it's important that we understand what faith is. So I'm going to give y'all a little definition here. And then we're going to kind of move on a little bit. But I want to tell you, the true definition, please listen. When you talk in faith, somebody say, oh, I got faith in God. Okay. Ask yourself, how do you know that? How do you know they got faith? Because they said it? Do that make them have faith because they said it? Do that make my car a truck because I put a horns on there, a truck horns on there? No. Do that make my bicycle a car because I park it in the garage? No. I'm just trying to show you something. Do that make you a Christian because you go in a church building? So that answer probably is no.
Amen.
You know, it's getting ready to be Halloween. So because you put on a costume of a devil, do that make you a devil? Absolutely not. Do that make you a ghost because you put on that costume? No. My point I'm trying to show you is because somebody say they have faith, they mean they have faith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the key. I'm going to give you the revelation to this. Having faith is having a scripture. That's what pleases God. Mm-hmm. You standing on something. How many times do you got to hear evangelist Renee say, by his stripes I'm healed? She's standing on scripture. That means she's standing on faith. See, if a person is telling you they're standing on faith and they don't have a scripture to tell you, they're not standing on faith. They may be standing on PP. That's some poison stuff. See, that's what I want you to see.
Yeah.
So anytime somebody talking about they talking faith and they don't have a scripture, remember that's what faith is. So without God's word, he ain't pleased. The only thing please him is his word. That's why heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle of his word. Why? Because his word is faith. How did he get us? He got us through faith.
Yeah.
How did Jesus come?
Amen.
Through faith. What pleases God? Oh, I got some receipts for you. In Hebrews 11 and 6, please find that for me, Pastor. Please. Somebody need to know. If you don't have a scripture, you ain't pleasing God. And I don't care how many times you tell me you're pleasing God, it don't mean jack. The people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I'm trying to give you the knowledge. Know that you know that you know that you're standing on something because you got something to stand. You got receipt. God can't deny his word. He can't do that. So when you tell God, Lord, I got faith, first thing he goes, what scriptures you standing on? Which one you're believing in?
Mm-hmm.
See? Oh, you will be asked. Don't, you can't get around it. You will be asked. Oh, you going through this line. There's some lines you can try to jump the fence, and there's other ways you can get in, and there's other stuff. No, you got to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to please the Father. Because without it, you can't please. I known people who had to go and take drug tests. They got somebody else to let me find the correct word. I want to be political correct. They found someone else to urinate in the cup.
Mm-hmm.
But baby, that ain't gonna be no shady stuff with God, cause without it,
amen,
you gotta go for your own self. That's why Habakkuk 2 said, it's your own faith. Every man, every woman, every child, it's all predicated on your faith, not somebody else. In other words, it's all predicated on the word you're standing on. I'm trying to give you an assurance that you have God, assurance that you're operating like God said to operate, assurance that you're pleasing God. So read Hebrews 11 and 6 for me, Pastor.
Reading from the King James, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen.
So without the word of God, see, because that's what faith is. You want more faith? So then Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, Jesus is the author of the word. He is the finisher of the word. That's why you get born by the word. That's why you got to live by the word. Because when you're doing that, in essence, you're living by your faith. Woo!
Amen.
Yeah. You've been restored. Redemption is being restored. It's like a restoration. You're being restored by faith.
Thank you.
Grace. Yeah. That's what's actually happening. Redemption is being, it's purification. You're doing it by faith. You're standing on it. Your rebirth happens to be by faith. It wasn't about I went to church, and I went this, and I gave this, and my mama this, and my grandma. No. Your rebirth is predicated on the word of God. If it's not, you're miscarried and don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened to miscarriage. Don't ask me, because I don't know. I just know that you're not born again. That I know for sure, because you have to be born by the word of God. That's how redemption comes. So it is a redemption that gives us perfect justification freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's spiritual. See, grace is the love of God. Grace is the love of God. And I like to say, faith is the love of God in action. It manifests. It is love that doing its thing. It was love that causes the incarnation. It is love that causes the incarnated one. We will call him Jesus to go on the cross. That was love that went on that cross and became sin for us. That was love that became sin. Absolutely identifying with us. That was love. Not only as a man. See, let me tell you something. When you love, you don't mind identifying. You say, that's my child. You don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what they'd have done. You'll still identify with them. Jesus said, let me identify with man. Which he did, and in the incarnation and in his earthly walk, he identified with man. But he became identified with our sin. And that's the part that's so marvelous, so unheard of. He identified with our sin. God laid upon him our iniquity, the Bible said, for our sake. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin. He didn't know nothing about sin, but he became sin. That is a serious thing. That the heart can hardly take it. How is it that Jesus became sin so we could become righteous? He was identifying with the devil, that is, God said he was singing. Can you use your imagination by saying, what did God say here? God is saying, I'm making my son to be like you. He actually went the limit for man. Being sin, he was judged as a sinner. He was condemned as sin. He was sent to place to suffer for us. I wish I had a witness here. He was sent to suffer for us. So you need to appreciate what he did for you. I know he went there. There he suffered until the chain of justice came. He suffered until wrong became right. He suffered until light became dark, and then dark became light. He suffered. The Bible said he was justified in the spirit in 1 Timothy 3:16. I know he suffered. He was made alive in the spirit. He died in the spirit. And then he actually made us righteous as he was before he was made sin. I wish I had a witness here. He was made so right that he was made until the Bible says he cried out to the Father. Sin will make you do that. Sin will make you cry out. And Jesus cried out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? After his resurrection, he entered in and to the presence of God with his own blood. And God began to check his blood. God began to examine that blood, and his blood and his seal of our redemption, according to Matthew 27:46. And I heard him say, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in into the holy place, having obtained, the Bible says, eternal redemption. If you don't mind, I tell you this, and I'm going to my seat here. The Bible says that with his own blood, he took our sin and showed the Father our sin. Then he turned around and showed the Father our blood. And he took that to the present, and God examined, and based on the ground that the works was finished, redemption had become ours. So therefore, Jesus had the right to become and make a new creation. And you and I become the righteousness of God in him. So somebody may ask you, how did that happen? And how did the Father make that happen? He did it through Christ. The Bible says that in Romans 3:26, it says, for showing, I say, of his righteousness as this present season, he had made himself to be right so that we could be right. You ought to appreciate the fact that God made him to be your sin. God paid it.
Yes,
it paid in full. All you got to do is receive what he did in the man Christ Jesus. And folks want to fight this. They want to argue with the fact that they still carrying sin. You're not carrying any sin. Jesus got it if you believe. Now, if you don't believe, you're absolutely right. You have your sin, and you got to bear them. And that's what you have to do. But if you don't believe, then you got to bear your own sin. But if you believe today, Jesus bearing your sin and you bearing his righteousness. And some writer said everybody got to bear their own cross. And I agree. Yeah. But you don't have to bear no cross of sin. We bear the cross of righteousness. So what we carry around is to tell people Jesus did it. When did he do it? He did it when he was on the cross. But ain't you glad?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad?
Yeah. Amen.
He had to show that the condition of the natural man died. And when he died, we live.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well,
thank you.
I felt like preaching a little bit today.
That's all right.
I apologize for the word of God, but I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, redemption is yours. It's all based on your faith. It's faith in your right. It's your right to use faith. It is your right. Yes, don't cheat yourself. Stop cheating yourself out of what's yours. God gave you this.
Amen.
So don't cheat yourself. But if anybody have any questions about anything we said, let's I'll give you the hallelujah. This is the time that you press one and come in, and we'll listen to you. Anybody? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! Praise God. Amen. Well, Pastor, I wanted to read Romans 3:21-26 from the Message Bible. And the subtitle is, God Has Set Things Right. Beginning with the 21st verse. But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God getting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long, sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us. God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Christ Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided to come on this course of action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of that sin he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear now. This is current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in his righteousness. Amen. It just brought it all out, Pastor. God has set things right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I like the fact that righteousness of God has been cleared up now. It's been revealed. It's independent of the law. It has nothing to do with the law. It's not predicated on if you do this, if you do that. No. Actually, God confirmed the law. When you think about it, he confirmed the law and the words and written of the prophecy. He confirmed it. So when you understand the 22nd verse, it says this righteousness came from God. And then we got it from God. He gave it to us.
Yeah.
He put righteousness on your back. All you got to do is tear it. All you got to go around here and confess it. That righteousness comes from God. But how do you get it? Through faith, man. It's through faith.
Amen.
It's the word of God. You standing on that. You holding that. You protesting that. You know, I looked at something yesterday on TV, and I'm going to say this, and if nobody else had nothing, you know, we can shut it down. But they protesting. Right now, people are protesting the war in Israel. Guess what they got? They got signs. What the sign? It reads stuff. In America, we got all kind of strikes going on. They got signs protesting. What does the sign read? See? So all over America, there's signs. People standing up for justice.
Mm-hmm.
Standing up because people have been murdered and killed wrong. And they're putting signs up. They want you to read that sign. Well, why did I say all of that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you asked. That ought to be a word for us, brothers and sisters. Where's your sign? Your sign ought to be saying that righteousness of God came through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what my sign says. My sign says I have righteousness because of Christ. So I had to go read 2 Corinthians 5:21 or read over here in Romans 3. The word just for me made right. I've been made right because of my faith in the word of God. My trust in the word of God. I believe it so until I'm making a sign.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You didn't know how it was going to happen? Well, the cat is out of the bag now. You have righteousness. You have it. And you have it if you claim it, and if you claim it, it's because you believe it. We're justified.
Amen.
We've been declared free of the guilt of sin. Well, you know what? I don't feel it, Pastor. You ain't supposed to feel it. If you feeling it's a PP, and that's not personal protection either. If you feeling it, it's because you're on a PP.
Right.
Yeah, that's poison. Yeah, see, Satan would love for you to operate on PP because you are a poison person. That's what he wants. He would love for all of us to operate on that PP. And that's not personal protection. I'm telling you, that's poison people. You listen to these people, they poison. That's a PP. Got to get away from the PP. Get away from it.
Yes.
Listen to your word. Don't put your faith in PP. I heard so many testimonies here lately. You think their grandmama saved them. You think God had nothing to do with their healing. I listen to a lot of crazy folks out here, man. Well, the doctor ain't did jack. He did what he was supposed to do. He diagnosed the case. And you know what the nurses did? They administered the right medicine. But let me tell you one more time. The healing came from God. I know where the healing came from. They might have did this, but the healing came from God. I want to be clear.
Yeah.
Faith in God. I'm standing on scripture. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I thank God for all of that.
Yeah.
But my healing coming from God. And don't forget it.
Amen.
I thank God for the nurses, hey, all these folks, the minister. But wait a minute. Wait 1 minute. The healing coming from God. And I'm standing on, because his word says, by his stripes I'm healed. So they can do everything they want to do, but it's faith in your own rights. It's your right to operate in that. Boy, I was just getting ready. This Evangelist Renee, I believe, let me see. Hallelujah. Evangelist Renee. Hallelujah. Well, that's 7300. Who is this?
That's his Angelus Renee.
Okay. Are you hearing her?
Angelus, I'm hearing you now. You hear me?
Okay, yes.
Hello? Yeah. First giving honor to God. Pastor Bell, Pastor Beasley. By his stripes, I am healed.
Yeah.
Infection is clearing up. And I'm standing on my word. By his stripes, I am healed.
Despite
what the doctors are saying and how I'm feeling, by his stripes, I will be healed. It's not my time, but it's his time. Pilot, I'm the co-pilot. I'm going to let God lead me and just wait. Just wait on the Lord. Because he's going to work it out.
Amen.
Thank everybody for their prayers. Because prayer works. I don't care. Prayer works.
Amen.
I'm believing it. I'm receiving it.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God. Thank God.
Amen. Anybody else? Thank you so much, Evangelist Renee. Good to hear your voice. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank y'all so much. And, hey, we'll see you tomorrow for Thankful Thursday.